Well, welcome. Welcome to church. It's Pentecost Sunday, and we're excited to be here. What awesome presence in the worship. Amen. And just so glad you're visiting with us today, if this is your first time. So I'm going to jump right into things this morning. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. The book of Acts is the book after, immediately after all the four Gospels, after the life of Jesus. We see what happens with the church in the book of Acts. And there's this great encounter in Acts chapter 19 between Paul and the believers he encounters in a city called Ephesus. And so let's pick it right up. Verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Old King James, "Have you received the Spirit since you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." The day of Pentecost is a day that the church has celebrated ever since the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2 describes the celebration of the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast day. But on that day, the Holy Spirit came upon the church in power, and the disciples were really catapulted from that experience out into evangelism, and they really took the world by storm after being filled with the Spirit. So today, I just want to talk about what the coming of the Spirit on us as believers means. Amen? What the coming of the Spirit means. And I think it's interesting here. Paul encountered these believers, however you want to see it, true believers, quasi-believers, whatever. And then he baptizes them in the name of Jesus and then lays hands upon them to receive this experience of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's interesting that there's two things happening here. First of all, is the fact of these people coming to faith, receiving baptism. And then the other fact is Paul laying hands upon them and them receiving this experience of the Holy Spirit. So I have kind of a thesis statement I'm working with today, and if you get nothing else from this sermon, I want you to get this. Every born-again believer has the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit in His fullness. I'm going to say it again because we learn by repetition, right? Every born-again believer has the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit in His fullness. Okay, we learn through repetition and we learn through saying it ourselves. So we're all going to say it together this morning. Come on, say it out loud with me. Every born-again believer has the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit in His fullness. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. In the book of Acts, we see the Spirit coming on groups of people throughout the book of Acts, and many different terms are used. One term that is used is outpouring. The Spirit was poured out on people. Another term used is falling on. The Spirit came and fell on the believers. Another term is coming upon. The Spirit came upon the believers. And then there's another term, and it's the term baptized. The believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, Dennis Bennett, who was an old preacher, 1950s great revival happened through this guy's ministry, and he was Episcopalian. If any of y'all watched the royal wedding yesterday, okay, rest of y'all lying, but anyhow, y'all watched the royal wedding yesterday. You saw some Episcopalian, American Episcopalian really shocked them, didn't he? But Dennis Bennett said this: the Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we receive Jesus. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we receive Jesus and we are born again of the Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the pouring out of the Spirit upon us, out of us, however you want to look at it. So there's basically two commands wrapped up with this. First of all, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must accept Christ, have this born-again experience. If you come to Christ, you're made a complete new creature, Paul says. Second command is, Paul gave us this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative. Be filled with the Spirit. So you must be born again, and you must be filled with the Spirit. I studied under a certain man who's now dead, and he's going to be with the Lord. He was a Presbyterian who was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he wrote about it this way. He said, being baptized in the Holy Spirit conveys the idea of being enveloped in the reality of the Holy Spirit. So in immersion, like when we dunk someone for baptism and we put them under the water, in immersion, no part of the body is left untouched. Everything goes under. I'm a personal freak over that. Because I've had some people I'm baptizing, and I'm such an immersion guy, that if I'm baptizing them and like their nose stands up, I'm like, I just come back and get a handful of water. Because I'm a freak over that. I've rebaptized. No, you're dry. Let's do it again. So in immersion, everything goes under. So when the Spirit comes and baptizes you in His presence, the whole being of the person is immersed in the life and flow of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, soul, and body is imbued with the power of God. Charles Finney, who was a great revival preacher back in the mid-1800s in America, described this, and he used this term, baptized in the Spirit. And I want to read you a portion of what he said. This is just so cool. He said, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost without any recollection that I had ever heard of this mentioned by any person in the world. The Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love. It seemed like the very breath of God. It seemed to fan me like immense wings. I wept aloud with joy and love, and I do not know I should say literally that bellowed out of me unutterable gushings of my heart. These waves came over and over me, one after another, until I recollect I cried out, I shall die if these waves continue to pass over me. And yet I had no fear of death. This man shook the nation with mighty revival. Another revival that happened in the beginning of the 20th century in California became known as the Azusa Street Revival. There was a reporter who walked into that revival named Frank Bartleman, and he had this account. He said, when my day of Pentecost was fully come, the channel was clear. The living waters burst forth. The door of my service sprang open at the touch of the hand of the sovereign God. The Spirit began to operate within me in a new and mightier way. It was a distinct, fresh climax in development. It was an epochal experience for me. How many of you today want the Spirit to work in you in a new and mightier way? You want the Spirit to work in you in a new and mightier way. You see, baptism in the Spirit, baptism is used at least three different ways I see in the New Testament. First of all, it's used of water baptism. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, he who is baptized, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. So when we believe, we come to faith, we make a decision to follow Christ, it's an act of our will, we say yes to Jesus, we surrender our heart to Him, then we must go on and be baptized. I don't see it as optional from the New Testament. It's a command of Christ. Paul said it represents us dying with Jesus. Jesus died and went down into the grave. Then on the third day, He resurrected and came out of that grave with power. And that's the same thing that happens to us. When we're baptized in water, we're saying goodbye to the old man. And then we're rising to faith and saying hello to the new man and hello to my new life in Christ. It's your coming out party, man. It's your coming out party. I remember when I was baptized, it was in front of a whole crowd of people. It was in public. It was at a local river. So when you're baptized here, we don't do it in secret. We have a tub that we do construct. But last two times we've done it, we video it on the big screen so everybody in here can see what's happening. Why? Because everybody should see what's happening to you. It's your public testimony. So if you've not been baptized, I want you, at the end of this service, if you accept Christ or you've accepted Christ and never been baptized, go to the Welcome Center and say, I want to be baptized. Sign me up. We had five people sign up this morning to be baptized. Several people accepted Christ by raising their hands this morning, and they followed through and went and said, I want to be baptized. Second way this term baptism is used in the New Testament is used in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So what he's saying is that when you came to faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit brought you into unity with Christ and brought you into the larger body of believers in heaven and earth and made you part of His body. Body is a metaphor, again, of the group of believers who follow Jesus. You're part of the church. You know, getting saved and accepting Christ, it is an individual thing in that it happens to you, but nowhere in the ancient church is it seen outside of the community of a church. I was reading a wonderful new early church scholar this week, and he said that it would have been foreign for the early church to see someone coming to Christ outside the body of believers. I think God knew what He was doing, don't you? You need a body of believers. He called it the body. The Spirit brings you into the body. He baptizes you into the community of faith. Third way it's used is seen in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John the Baptist is preaching and baptizing people at the River Jordan, and he says this, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose, and He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. So there is a difference here. I want to ask a question. I want to ask you two questions this morning. First question is, what is the difference between being saved and being baptized in the Spirit? How does it differ? Being baptized in the Spirit, how does that differ from just salvation? Well, first of all, in salvation, the Spirit convicts a person, the Spirit draws a person to Christ, and then the Spirit comes and resides in that person. In the baptism of the Spirit comes and empowers and overflows and is released through that person's life. In salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to a person and brings all the benefits of Christ to him. Being forgiven of all your sins, being accepted into the body, adopted into the body, Paul calls it. Being justified, it means all of your sins are erased and it's just as if you never sinned. All of those, the Holy Spirit brings the benefits of Christ when you're saved. However, when you're baptized in the Spirit, Christ Himself immerses you in the benefits of the Spirit. What are those? The manifestation gifts of the Spirit, the boldness of the Spirit, the supernatural ministry. If you're new to our church, you saw Sarah up here singing today, and she felt she had a word for some people in the congregation. That's just a spiritual gift in operation. I've seen this happen many times before, and people be completely healed, come to me weeks later and say, hey, your daughter spoke, and man, I'm telling you, God touched my life, completely turned around. That's a manifestation gift in operation, and it's all right. We want the Spirit to move in our church. We want Him to move in our lives. He brings us to, He ministers to us on another level than just the mind. So there's a difference here, okay? John Piper, who is a Baptist preacher, but he's known as a Calvinist theologian. That means he believes in, you know, election and foreordination and all these things. So a lot of people like him, but I read something by him that I thought was so interesting. He said, Paul says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized in the one body, as I'm talking about from 1 Corinthians. He said, Jews are Greeks, slaves are free. The context of this passage shows that he's referring to a work of the sovereign Spirit who unites all believers to Christ. That is virtually the same as the work of conversion. So when you're born again and you put your faith in Christ, the Spirit of God unites you to Christ so that you're part of the body and a fellow heir with Him of eternal life. Right? Then he goes on and he said, and I used to just assume that Paul and Luke were talking about the same things when they used the term baptism, because Luke wrote the books of Luke and Acts. He said, in other words, I thought when Luke used the term baptized in the Spirit in the book of Acts, he meant the same thing as Paul, that we're just brought into the body. But he said, now I think differently. I think the essence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, as Luke was describing it, is when a person who is already a believer receives extraordinary spiritual power for Christ-exalting ministry. I don't know about you, but I need some extraordinary spiritual power working in my life. Because I need to minister to some people. You need to minister to some people. You've got some friends that need touched for Jesus. And sometimes you don't have the words to say. But we depend on the voice of the Holy Spirit. You be baptized in the Spirit, man. You can come up and God start dropping stuff in you and out of you that's just going to blow your mind. Amen? That's when we take ministry to a whole nother level. So I'm going to ask a second question. And that is, how do I receive the Spirit then? I know He comes and lives in me in salvation, praise God, but how do I receive this experience you're talking about, Pastor Hans? Well, I'm going to boil it down to one thing, and that is you just got to have faith. Here's the deal. Salvation comes through faith. When we pray for healing, we're praying for healing through faith. And when we want to receive the baptism of the Spirit, we also must just believe by faith. Just by faith. Now, us in the holiness tradition, we had all kinds of requirements before that, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of that's still ingrained in me. But I had God kind of shake my world over a few things, and just in pastoring, that kind of showed me, man, if you're born again, you're a candidate to receive all God has for you. I'm going to say that again. If you're born again, you're a candidate to receive everything God has for you. Okay, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to read a piece of this that isn't on the screen. And just hang with me because we're going to get to that. I just want to back up and read a few verses before that. Luke chapter 11. And this is talking about prayer, and it's one of the most famous prayer passages in the Bible, but I'm telling you, it's talking about more than just prayer. Luke chapter 11, Jesus says in verse 5, and he said to him, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The story is like this. Let's say we're here, you know, I live in Camden County, so I'm out in Camden, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have a friend who just drove up from Kentucky. Thank you. And my UK Wildcat buddy comes to the door, and at first he looks like Rick Pitino, but then, no, I'm just kidding. But he comes up, and he knocks on my door, and I'm sleepy. I don't want to get up. Finally, I get up. I finally answer the door. He's famished. He has nothing to eat. He sits down, and I said, dude, I used to have food, but my 2 girls came home from college, and now it's all gone, and I like have nothing left in the house. I mean, not even Cheerios left anymore. It's all gone. So Jesus says, what do you do? So I run next door, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I go to my neighbor, and it's like, hey! Hey! What's up, dog? Come on, man. Finally, he comes. And he says, Hans, what's going on? I said, man, I just got some Kentucky hillbillies that just came to see me, and they're starved. I mean, they're craving soup, beans, and cornbread with a big slice of onion on the side. And y'all don't know nothing about that. It's come on. Anyhow, he says, okay, man, whatever, dude. He goes and gives me some stuff. I take it back. All is fine. Jesus said that man only answered because I was persistent. And I about beat his door down. And he got up and gave me all I needed. So he says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be. So let's walk through that again. There's an acronym here, A-S-K. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, in the original language, these are all in continuing verb form. So it's like, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. And he gives us this beautiful promise, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now that's beautiful, but let's stop. He's going to go one step further. What's so beautiful about this is that God, you know, a lot of people have this view of their Christian life. Hey man, when I came to Christ, I got it all. I don't need anything else. Just preach and get me to Golden Corral by 12 and I'm going to love you. Well, that's not happening today. But you know, man, you shouldn't have that attitude, because God wants to be pursued. You know, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my heart pants for you, the psalmist said. God wants us to pursue Him. And there's something in the pursuit of God. There is more to God than you have ever experienced. I'm telling you, I've been in revivals and I've preached to crowds overseas and we've been around the world and all that stuff. But I know every day I live, there's more to God than I've experienced. And I want to get more and more and more of His presence and see Him do more in my life than I've ever seen Him do before. Don't you? So there is a persistence issue. However, Jesus then backs up and contrasts this neighbor that had to be awakened out of his sleep to the Father. Notice what he says. He says, if a son, verse 11, asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So he uses these ridiculous, extreme examples to prove a point. Which one of you would have your kids come to you in the morning and say, Dad, could you fix me some breakfast? You say, yeah, I've got a rock pile out back. No, this is ridiculous. Jesus meant for it to be ridiculous. And then he has this beautiful saying. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So this is, I listened to an old sermon this week by David Wilkerson, and some of y'all know who he is, but anyhow, he was preaching on this, and he said, oh, it's so much about the Spirit coming. It's when the man realizes he has not enough to minister to his friend, and he goes searching for more. And then he runs into the promise of Jesus that says, God's got everything you need. All you got to do is ask and seek and knock, and God isn't asleep at 3:00 in the morning. And you don't have to beat His door down. You come ask, and you seek, and you knock, and God opens it up for you. Can you shout amen in this house? So I'm a new pastor. I'm in pastoring in Chesapeake, Virginia, not far from here. And I'm pastoring, and we used to have an outreach ministry that would go reach out to a halfway house on the weekends. So one Saturday, our guys went over to the halfway house, and they led this guy to the Lord. They prayed a sinner's prayer with him. He accepted Christ. The next morning, he came to my church and visited. First time. I'm telling you, this dude was as rough as anyone I've ever seen in my life. I'm talking tatted head to toe, been involved, drugs, alcohol, all the whole nine. He shows up that morning for church, and he'd been a Christian one day. He shows up for church. That night, we had a big baptismal service. So he comes, and he wants to be baptized. We baptize him in water. And then at the end of the service, I go over and I start praying for some folks, and I go over to this brother and I lay hands on him. And I'm telling you, he received the Holy Spirit. The power of God came on him in such a beautiful way. It was absolutely amazing. and it short-circuited some of my theological wiring. I thought, hold on, Lord. This guy hasn't gone through the new members classes. Hold on. This dude hadn't even, he don't even know Genesis from Revelation. And I realized, you know what? Holy Spirit comes by faith, man. You open up the door, Holy Spirit comes by faith. I was preaching several years ago on the island of Cyprus with my good friend, Dr. Elias Malky. Many of y'all remember Dr. Malky. He came to our church several times through the years. He was an amazing man of God. He was out of Southern California. Anyhow, he would hold these pastors' conferences for Middle Eastern pastors. I'm talking pastors from Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, even Iraq. It was amazing. So we're at one of these pastors' conferences, and in this particular conference, there were Egyptian pastors there, and then there were a few Lebanese pastors, but a whole bunch of Lebanese laymen had come to this meeting. Now, they were Catholics. In fact, they were called Maronite Catholics. So Dr. Malky gets up, and in his gentle way, he teaches on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. Then we have a prayer time at the end, and he says, Hans, let's go and let's pray for all these folks. And I mean, there's a lot of people in this room, and I'm thinking in American Pentecostal terms. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, it's going to take all day. But we go back, and we start praying for these Lebanese Catholic believers, and the Holy Spirit comes so gently and beautifully on each one of them. It was just like one of the most beautiful, easy experiences I ever had. I later got in the van with them and rode off the mountain, and we're all singing the Lord's Prayer. Of course, I wasn't singing because they were singing in Arabic, but I'm like. Sometime later, I'm doing doctoral work at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and I was invited to the Dominican House of Studies. This is where the Dominican Catholic fathers who wear white robes live and study. And I was invited by one of their directors and a friend of mine to have lunch with them one day and have prayer with them. So I go over, and we go to their service. For the first 15 minutes, they pray to Mary. I don't. Then after that, we had this beautiful back and forward prayer time. They sat on one side of the building. I sat on another in these ancient-looking, throne-looking, chair-looking things. And we sang the psalms to each other. Then at the end, we went and had lunch. And one of these directors, he's brilliant. He's a PhD. He's a brilliant theologian. He looks at me and he says, so Hans, wonderful to have you here. What kind of church do you pastor? I said, well, I pastor a Pentecostal Holiness church. He said, well, praise God, man. Back in the 1960s, I studied in Rome. And as I was studying in Rome in the 60s, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Been baptized in the Spirit since the 60s. And all my Pentecostal wiring is like, it's like frying right now. And I'm thinking in my mind, I didn't say it out loud, we just prayed to Mary in there. Come on, bro. You know what I found out? The Holy Spirit isn't just for Pentecostals. You know? The Holy Spirit is for anyone who's born again, who accepts Jesus and believes He's Lord of their life. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. You say, well, Pastor Hans, this is my first time here this morning. I've never been in this crazy of a church. Fantastic! You're probably the number one candidate to be just filled with the fullness of God today, because the rest of us got so much religious baggage, it's hard for us to get anything happening. I prayed for so many people, and we just say, let's just pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. And it's like, I'm like, dude, lighten up. Go see a massage therapist. Do something, man. You're like freaking me out. But we've seen all of these negative examples for years, and we have in our mind a way it's supposed to go. And I'm just blowing your mind this morning. God can come and do it in any way He wants to do it. Because often we've associated emotionalism with the coming of the Spirit. Now, here's the deal. I'm an emotional guy. And if we deny our emotions, you know, it's not like being rational beings. That's why I get in here, I worship. You'll hear me shout in here. You'll hear me clap my hands in here. However, when the Holy Spirit comes, He doesn't, you may get emotional, but you don't have to. Matter of fact, I'm a 17-year-old. My church taught me this. Seek for more of God. Hans, seek for the baptism of the Spirit. Seek to be filled with God. And as I was praying as a 17-year-old, I was filled with the Spirit in my bedroom one night in the quietest manner possible. God just came and breathed on me. My life was forever changed. Forever changed. Okay? We're going to pray. Give me 2 more minutes. I'm pastoring a church in Washington, D.C., and we had life groups, or we called them small groups, but we call them life groups here, where we meet in homes, study the Bible, pray for each other. And in this certain life group one night, one of our young ladies speaks up and she says, does anyone want us to pray for any certain needs? She speaks up and she says, Pastor, my prayer life is just horrible. Every time I pray, I feel like I can't get above the ceiling. I said, okay, we'll pray for you. You know, my pastor, yes, sister, we'll pray for you. And then I have this Hispanic lady on fire for Jesus, bold. And she speaks up and she looks at that sister and she says, we're going to pray for you, and tonight you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, we've done stepped out in the deep water now. We're already out here, man. So I said, well, are you cool with that? Yeah, okay, well, let's pray. And we just all gently gathered around her and we started praying. And you know what happened? Just in the softest, gentle way possible, this lady was just filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking, she put her hands over her face and started laughing because God was so good to her. Next time we came together, I said, hey, how's your prayer life going? She said, oh my gosh. It's like the roof came off. Heaven is open, and I'm praying. You know why? Because God wants the Holy Spirit to come to every born-again believer. I think somebody said that today, that every born-again believer has the opportunity to receive the Spirit in fullness. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God. One more Catholic story, and I guarantee I love every Catholic in here. And some came to me after the service and said, I was raised Catholic. I said, praise God, man. I studied with the Catholics for 7 years doing doctoral work. So we have a friend come into our church. He was raised Catholic. His wife was raised Pentecostal in Roanoke Rapids, Virginia, or North Carolina. And they come to our group one night, and he comes forward. He was a business guy in the city and very intellectual guy. He comes forward to me one night in our small group again, and he says, Hans, I'd like for you to pray for me to receive the Spirit. And I'm like, I'm thinking in my mind, you got to be kidding me, man. I thought this stuff was only for Appalachian hillbillies who handle snakes or something. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. And I'm like, okay, let's pray. I will pray for you, man. So he comes up here, and we start praying for him, and I honestly heard the voice of the Lord speak to me and said, don't say anything right now to him. Just pray for him. Because as a pastor, I want to encourage, hey, man, the Bible says this. And hey, man, you can do. I just felt like, no, I'm just going to pray. And I just prayed. Then I felt the Lord drop a word, boldness, into my heart. And I looked at my friend and I said, the Lord says just speak with boldness right now. And he spoke out with boldness in the most beautiful unknown tongue you've heard. And the Spirit of God came on him in such a beautiful way, right in my living room. After we'd finished prayer, we go into the kitchen to grab something to drink. And I'm talking to him, and I said, so how do you feel? He said, Hans, this is totally natural, but supernatural. And I love that. It's totally natural, but it's supernatural. Are you hungry for more of God? Do you want Him to work in your life in a mightier way, as Frank Bartleman said? Do you want Him to come upon you, as Acts says? You know what my dream about here I mean, I have some crazy stuff I dream about. I dream about walking through Walmart and seeing you guys just like loving on people and witnessing to people and even praying for people. Amen? I see you guys, and I dream about you guys in your life groups just loving on people, praying for people, walking with people through their hardships, but not being like, well, dude, I'd pray for you, but I just got nothing. Or, man, I'd say something, but I'm just blank right now. No, but you're like so full of Jesus that you're like, I don't know, you're like, you know, Jesus superhero or something. It's like it's rolling off of you. It's just overflowing out of your life that you're so full of love and you're so full of God that you just have to tell somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on, let's stand with me right quickly and close your eyes. We're going to pray. Come on, stand with me all over the church and close your eyes and we're going to pray. First thing we're going to do is the Bible says, you know, the one requirement to being filled with the Spirit, you got to be born again. You must be born again. So we're going to pray right now and ask Jesus to come into our lives. Amen? Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, but you want to do it right now, we're going to pray right now, right where you stand, and we're going to commit our lives to Him. If you've never done that, but you want to do it for the first time today, just as a sign between me, you, and God, why don't you just raise your hand and let me see you out there today? Come on, thank you, thank you. Come on, thank you. Maybe there's others. Thank you, sir. Maybe there's others who you've like backslidden on God and you've been out of church a long time, but you just want to come and renew that commitment to Christ. Let me see your hand because we're going to pray for you too today. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Maybe there's others. You just want to say, Pastor, pray for me right now. I want to receive Christ right now. I want to renew my relationship with Him. Let me see your hands in here today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is going to do something phenomenal in your life right now. Come on, as a church, we all believe in helping others come across the finish line, don't we? So let's all pray out loud with these guys. And listen, those of you who raised your hands, if you pray this prayer and you mean it, God's going to come and He's going to do some stuff in your heart right now. This is going to be the first step of a long journey, an awesome journey you're going to start walking with Him. So come on, let's pray. Father, I come before You. In Jesus' name, forgive me of all my sins, Lord. I believe, Jesus, that You are the Lord. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose the third day. And I believe You're coming back. Be the Lord over my life. Cleanse me from all sin. This world is no longer my Lord. Satan is no longer my Lord, but Jesus, You are my Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Now, can the church shout amen and give the Lord a praise right here this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. I want the altar workers to join me at the altar right quick. Here's what we're going to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to go to the Welcome Center and tell them, I want to be baptized. There's a new believers pack that we have. It has a New Testament in it. It's really awesome. Just go see them this morning and say, hey, man, I gave my life to Christ, or I prayed with the pastor. I want to be baptized. You sign up right there. Done deal. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to pray for all of you who just say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the Spirit to come on my life. I want to experience what Pastor Hans talked about. I want to be empowered to flow in the Spirit. Amen? So here's the way we're going to work it. Two ways. The rest of you I'm going to dismiss, and I'm going to say we love you. Thank you for coming to church this morning. You can be dismissed quietly if you would, please, just in respect to those who are going to pray.
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today. And I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes, say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt, take away the shame, take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray, and you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us, and join us on our website, join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So, until next time, God bless.